it's Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. It takes a village to raise a fly fisher. Both Dave and I are indebted to the friends and guides with whom we've fly fished over the years. We're both better because of it, and so we are proud to say it takes a village to raise a fly fisher.
Well, thanks to others, we've reached the level of mediocrity that we can be proud of, right?
Yeah, instead of just being plain bad, huh?
Oh, gosh, man.
Yeah, we're not ashamed of the fact that we're both average fly fishers, but hey, even average fly fishers can catch a lot of fish when the conditions are right, and we do that. And it's due in part to what we've picked up over the years from other fly fishers. So today we thought we'd share some of the most important pieces of information that we've learned in recent years.
So let's begin. So I think the first one, and I don't know that I should take credit for this, Steve. This is really more you than it is.
No, I don't think so. No, I think really? I think this is you're going to say what I think you're going to say.
So we're going to we have started to use more in recent years soft hackle flies. In fact,
I credit you for that. You're the one who started doing that.
So yep. In the previous episode, Steve talked about dropping the shaky beely off of
off of a streamer,
yeah. And that is a soft hackle fly. I think it has partridge feathers on there.
Yeah,
it's got orange in it, but that's a soft hackle fly. And so,
yeah. And by the way, just go on the Blue Ribbon fly shop in West Yellowstone. I think you can see a picture of that. Yeah,
you can. Shaky, S-H-A-K-E-Y, and then Beely is B-E-E-L-Y, right?
Y, yeah.
Or L-E-Y. Or,
yeah, one of those two. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But when you pull that up, you'll also pull up a bunch of other soft hackle flies, BWOs. And I just think that fishing a soft hackle fly is a lost art.
Yeah.
You just don't hear people talking about wet flies and the soft hackle fly anymore.
No, and, you know, we've talked about guides and friends with who we fished. I think a real defining moment was we were fishing with our friend Dave, in another Dave, in the Bozeman area a few years ago, and he introduced us to the Batwing Emerger. Remember
that? Yep.
And we were on the East Gallatin River. I mean, this is within sight of house that I built. Well, I and a contractor friend who knew what he was doing, I helped him. But anyway, yeah, I helped him and some others. But anyway, yeah, we, you know, the East Gallatin, I fished that a lot over the years, and sometimes it was frustrating. There were a few times where I did well on, you know, when they were rising, I'd catch them on size 18 parachute atoms. But otherwise, that always stumped me. But our friend Dave had kind of figured out this one stretch that we fished, just using soft hackles and these batwing emergers, and you'd, you know, what do we drop them off? Probably off of a nymph, and we'd get to the bottom of the run and swing those things. And by the way, to swing, if you're new to fly fishing, you kind of picture this. So the fly, you cast maybe 45 degrees upriver, and your nymph and whatever you're dropping, it's drifting down. And then when it gets to the end of the drift and you're starting to pull it back in, it swings. Literally, it swings across the river. If you have it out a little ways, it'll just swing back to the side of the bank that you're standing on. And it's at the end of that run, during that swing, when, man, that batwing emerger, I remember that day just catching, you know, several rainbows, and every one of them was on that batwing emerger. Every one of them was on the swing. I mean, it was just dynamite. And so, yeah, that's really where we learned it. But we've been trying, haven't we, to, you know, you've done that. You've picked up several soft tackle patterns and even trying those in the driftless. I think you've had some success there.
I have. And speaking of the batwing emerger, so I would, when I was slinging that on that day when we were with our friend Dave, I was only using the batwing emerger. I was not dropping it off a nymph. I was only using that fly, and I would cast it, kind of, if you're facing the stream, kind of three quarters or, you know, maybe 2 o'clock downstream, letting it drift, letting out more line to let it get down as far as you can, and then letting it drift, and then pulling it up slowly as you let it swing.
Oh, yeah.
So it comes up the water column. Yeah. And I'm telling you that the hit on that was unbelievable. So the point here simply is what we've learned from other fly fishers, the mature fly fishers, it's not just dries, not just nymphs, but those soft hackle flies.
Yeah, they're dynamite, aren't they? So here's another one, and I know we've talked about this before, but I wanted to bring it up again because I just keep seeing the value in this. This is something that we actually learned from a guide a few years ago, and it's compare the speed of your strike indicator when you're nymphing. We're talking about nymphing now, and you're using a strike indicator. Compare the speed of your strike indicator with the speed of the current. And the way that you do that is to watch the bubbles on the surface. And are those bubbles going faster or slower than your strike indicator? Now, here's the deal. The current is slower at the bottom of the river. So you know that you're deep enough when your strike indicator is going slower than the bubbles on the surface. And that is just one of those things that stuck with me. Every time I'm out, I watch for that. And that's just been super helpful.
So say that again. So the strike indicator needs to be slower than the bubbles.
Right, because that means your fly is deep enough. What it means is your fly is down low enough that it's in that slow current. And so the strike indicator is really indicating also how fast your fly is moving along, what rate. And if you see that, okay, it's going slower than those bubbles on the surface, then you know you've hit that deeper stretch of water.
So we've talked about using soft tackle flies. We talked about this monitoring the speed of your strike indicator, which we've all learned from, Steve and I both learned that from other fly fishers, guides, people that just observe that when we're fishing. The third is, and I observed this from a friend that I fished with last spring. He's a professor of family business from back east, but we fished the Driftless together, both on the Wisconsin and the Minnesota side. And we went into some of the streams that I have fished for years. And he outfished me on a couple of days. And I think it, and as I watched him walk up the side of the bank in such a slow, methodical way. He would be in the stream, so he would not be on the bank. Now, I know I've fished spring creeks last 25 years. And so I understand how to approach a run, how to be stealthy, how to get down, keep your profile down. The problem is in the Driftless, a lot of these streams come around banks, and when you're trying to approach them, you're just too high.
Yeah, even if you're sneaking up, and that's what we do. You know, we sneak up on a run and we want to throw 45 degrees up and drift it through the run in front of us, 45 degrees down. But yeah, so what you're saying then is that this guy's just strictly coming, he's sneaking from the bottom.
He's just sneaking up from the bottom. Yeah, and he's moving so slow, so methodical, and he just plain out fished me. Again, this is like a relearning stuff, and I feel like,
hey, that's humbling, isn't it? Because you're kind of guiding him.
I was here, totally guiding him.
Let me show you my favorite runs. Exactly. Like, whoa, hey.
But I was impressed with his fishing, and again, we didn't need to cast far. We just needed to make sure that we didn't scare the fish in this small creek as we were trying to approach the run.
Yeah, that's a great piece of wisdom. And yeah, I'm trying to learn that from you, because we know that I fish way too fast.
Yeah. You're pretty fast.
Yeah, that's right. Faster than Jimmy John's.
Freaky fast.
Yeah, so freaky fast that I don't catch any fish. No.
Yeah, it's not true.
All right, here's another one. Let your fly rod do the work for you. Don't try harder against the wind. I think I learned this from Gary Borger. He's such a master, at casting. And I remember one time I was with him, and he you know, he's really big on, I mean, you know, don't cast your rod like it's a, like you're a symphony conductor and these graceful. I mean, snap your wrist, okay, but he said, when you're in the wind, and we were in some wind, don't try harder. I mean, and that just goes against every instinct
sure does.
I have.
Sure
I want to, yeah, you need a good solid cast to begin with, but he said, let your rod do the work for you. And these graphite boron fly rods are designed to, you know, load things and to shoot line through even the wind. And it's, I'm still learning to do that because my instincts often kick in, but I'm amazed when I stop and concentrate and say, okay, I'm just going to do a good, you know, a good solid cast, but I'm not going to try to compensate for the wind. The rod really does make a difference. And it's not like it goes as far as, my cast goes as far as it does without wind, but it really does cut through the wind.
Yeah, trying harder with wind is futile. I think I learned this from that guide in West Yellowstone. We were fishing the Madison, remember that? Fishing those runners.
Yeah.
And it was such a windy day. What made it tough is that the wind, we had to cast from left to right, so basically across our body, and that's just hard anytime. But then the wind was coming against the cast, and so, you know, you just would try to rip on it and try to lean into it. He said, no, you know, and he was he had been an engineer, right?
Yeah.
A mechanical engineer. I think that was his degree in college. And so he kind of walked us through the mechanics, didn't really help me, but at least stuck in my mind when you're fishing against wind, trying harder is not the answer.
That's right. Let your fly rod do the work for you.
So another one is this twitching of your rod the next one is to twitch your streamer as it floats downriver, right? And I think any kind of movement that you can add to your streamer really helps with catching more fish, and then be ready for the swing, right? At the end of the swing, slowly lift up your tip a little bit. I'll say this. So the one thing that we have observed through the years with our friend Dave out in Montana is especially when we're fishing small creeks and we're fishing streamers, and his angle for the run is he always throws it against the bank and then he twitches the rod up. He doesn't use the classic,
strip. Yeah, just put your rod tip down almost in the water and then just strip it towards you. No,
but you're doing that with the rod tip. You're not stripping with your hand.
Right.
Now you're taking in the excess line, but you're using the tip of your rod to twitch the streamer. So that
I think Joe Brooks did that too. I remember somebody saying, this is kind of the Joe Brooks method. But yeah, our friend Dave did it and it's like, well, okay, you're catching two to every one that we are.
Exactly.
So,
or maybe three to every one.
Yeah. Yeah, that really works well even in the driftless where we're fishing these smaller streams, and that's just a great technique. Anything else, Dave?
So I think the last one perhaps is just to lift the rod to get the excess line out of the water more quickly. Certainly after you cast, a lot of these younger fly fishers do what's called high sticking, where they keep the rod really high.
Yeah.
As they're, mm-hmm. you know, after the cast. And I don't know that you have to high stick it all the time, but I do think lifting the rod to get the excess line out of the water quickly, I've learned this through the years as I've watched some of these younger fly fishers are just so talented. They come out of their mother's womb, casting 70 to 80 feet. I mean, these young fly fishers, men and women, are just amazing.
Yeah.
But when you watch them, a lot of them will keep that fly rod a lot higher than what some of us older fly fishers will do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great technique.
Yeah, because if you think about it, the temptation is if you have a long drift, and I'll put my rod tip down, even as I'm letting line out, and I get this long drift, and okay, now I want to pull it back in, but usually my rod is at an angle. And if you try to pull that line up, you know, and your rod is, say, you have your fly rod pointing out in front of you, you know, with the tip down, you're going to be pulling to the side. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I tend to pull to the side, but man, if you lift your rod tip straight up facing your fly, it's just amazing how much quicker, I mean, that line is instantly off the water and you don't have all that drag.
Yeah, gosh.
And that's key too when it comes to setting a hook. When, you know, you get a strike, if you're pulling to the side, there's so much water resistance, but if you just lift straight up almost in that second, then you can set the hook. It really works.
That's great advice.
So I guess the key is never be too proud to learn. Keep your ears open, your mouth shut, your eyes open when fishing with others. You'll never know what you'll learn that will help you catch more fish. So yeah, thanks to all the guides and friends that we fly fished with, sometimes even strangers that we've learned things with. We are mediocre fly fishers.
And proud of it.
That's right, instead of just plain old lousy.
Well, all right, so that's a wrap for this one. So in our next episode, we're going to talk about the unexpected perks of fly fishing. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. All right, that's all for today. Thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing.